I'll look at the Holy Spirit tonight. Did you know that right now you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Whether you feel it on him, not it, sorry. Whether you feel him or not, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, you're filled with the fullness of the Spirit because of Jesus and not because of anything that you've done. That's good news, isn't it? Whether you feel his presence or not, you're full of him because he is a gift that was given 2,000 years ago when Jesus died and rose again. And there's no one in this room that has more of him than someone else. We've all got him. He comes in person, not in portions. It's good, that, isn't it? I didn't come up with it. But it's good, because sometimes when you're in church, you know, you see people who are, you know, holy and shaking, rolling around, and you think, oh, I'd love to be as close to God as they are. But that isn't the truth. You know, God has given himself completely to you, and you didn't do anything. It's not your fault. You didn't do anything, and you can never do anything to get more of God. He has given all of himself to you, and that's the gift of God. That's good news, right? So tonight we're looking at the Spirit of adoption. And I'm going to read to you two Bible verses. One is from Romans 8, 14 to 17. And one is from Galatians 4 to 7. So this is what it says in Romans 8, 14 to 17. And I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. So a little different translation for you. It says this: the mature children of God are only those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, "Beloved Father." For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, "You are God's beloved child." And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures, for indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. It's pretty good, that, isn't it? It's that Passion Translation. Kind of need to mull on that for a couple of years. Galatians 4. God sent forth his son, born of woman, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as his sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father," as you are no longer a slave but a son. If you are a son, then an heir. So I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives tonight, and particularly this whole idea of the spirit of adoption, or as the translation puts it here, the spirit of full acceptance enfolding you into the family of God. I don't know about you, but there tends to be two major problems when it comes to life, and particularly life with God, and that is we don't know really who he is, and often we have interesting ideas about who God is. And we often don't know who we are, and we struggle with understanding who we are and where we fit in this world. Well, the wonderful thing is that it's the Holy Spirit's job, who you have all of, who is indwelling you right now. It's his job to lead you into understanding who God is. And that's a journey. That's what the Christian faith is. It's a discovery, it's a journey, an exploration of God. And he's there also, I love it, whispering into our innermost being, "You are God's beloved child." You see, he's highlighting who God is, the Father, and he's whispering to your spirit who you are. So, I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit and to be okay with the Holy Spirit challenging your views on who God is. Because if I think back over my Christian experience, which is, how many years is that? Quite a lot. I'm never good at maths. I became a Christian at 11, and I'm 27, maths people. 16, thank you, Katie. It's the table, the maths table. It's in your mind. Yes, 16 years. So my idea of who God is is gradually unfolding and changing. I guess when I first thought of God, he was, you know, a singular kind of person in the sky, a almost very grand person that I needed to please and serve. And of course he was good, and of course he was loving, but I had to do a lot to make sure that, you know, he was going to bless me, and I needed to make sure I was praying and reading my Bible. And he was a very distant God, almost a bit scary God. But you see, it's the Holy Spirit's delight to bring revelation of who God really is. And I'm beginning to find out that he's amazingly good and amazingly relational and better than you could ever imagine. I heard a preacher say quite recently, said, "I don't reckon we're going to get to heaven and we're going to stand before Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and say, 'I really overestimated you, God. I just thought you were, you know, a little too good down here. You know, I just overestimated who you were.' That doesn't sound like the God that we love, does it? I think we're going to rock up to heaven and we're going to be blown away by how good God is, how much fun God is, how full of joy and love God is. For me, a big thing, and this is again the work of the Holy Spirit, has been understanding that God is Trinity, that he's not just one God who's been alone for all eternity and came as Jesus, but he has always been three beings who have always been in complete and utter love and relationship forever. They've been in the best sort of relationship you could ever imagine. You know, John says, in him there is light and there's no darkness. His relationship is the perfect relationship. There's no darkness in his relation, in their relationship. They're face to face to one another, loving one another, putting each other first. There's nothing to be hidden in the Trinity, in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're just overwhelmingly good. And that is, I'm beginning to understand who God is. He's this incredible relationship. So when we talk about the love of God, we're not talking about a lonely God who has the capacity to love us if we work hard enough and please him. But we're talking about this God who has been in a relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loving each other. That's the love of God, and that's the love of God that's been poured into our hearts. God loving God, loving God. And that's the love that we've been invited into. That's the love that's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have been enfolded into the family of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God has been, God loves to challenge our understanding of him, where we feel that he's distant, or where we feel that he's not good, or he's scary, or where perhaps we might pull away. The Spirit of God is wanting to bring us into this understanding that he's beyond our wildest dreams, that he's unbelievably good. And another thing that I've been kind of learning again, because the Spirit of God loves to teach us about who he is that he isn't a God where we're trying to become like him. We're not trying to, I don't know about you, but when I was a younger Christian, I kind of thought being human, doing human things like having fun and, you know, maybe enjoying friends or, you know, enjoying having a glass of wine or anything like that, that wasn't godly. That was over here with, you know, being human and flesh. And what we wanted to do is pray and lock ourselves away and ascend into the heavenly realm and become super spiritual. Super spiritual and know the Spirit and do away with those fleshly things. But isn't it interesting that God became human? He became flesh. And I think that maybe tells us something about God. That actually, being human and enjoying our humanity is the most spiritual we're ever going to get. Because God became human and he has forever joined himself to us. I heard someone say once that God is most comfortable in human skin. There's something about the human life that actually God created us for, to enjoy, and actually it's in our relationships, it's in our partying, it's in our crying, it's in our working, where God is present and wants to manifest himself. So for too long, the church has tried to, you know, detach itself from the world. But God became flesh. And he wants to meet us there. And he wants us to show us the glory of being human. The Holy Spirit loves to lead us to the Father, into that beautiful relationship, into reality. And God loves to challenge how we see ourselves as well. He loves to challenge that sense of being an orphan. You will never feel orphaned, it says in Romans, as he rises up within us. So often we struggle with, again, who we are. Are we loved? Do we have a sense of purpose in this world? Well, the Spirit has been given to us to remind us of who we are. Remind us of our sonship, our daughtership. Remind us that we are fully accepted in him. It seems to me that the thing that I battle with most is knowing who I am. So often I'll question my worth. I think I've said this before in this service, that I went through a whole period of, in my mind, having this conversation, and every time I'd do something, a little stupid or whatever, the phrase that was in my mind was, "Oh, you're such an idiot, John." And that became the phrase that was constantly in my head, "You're such an idiot, John." And again, I just remember one day just being so convicted by the Holy Spirit, and him just saying, "Well, that's not what I think." And you got to ask yourself, should you be thinking something that God doesn't believe about you? See, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's whispering, "You're God's beloved child." And actually, we've got to take a stand with Jesus and agree with him about what he's saying about us. That's kind of the battle. What is he saying about you? He's whispering, "You are God's beloved child." And then he gives us these words, "Abba, Father." We can begin to relate to God in the most incredible way. The word "Abba," I'm sure you know, means daddy, kind of similar in the Greek, whatever. And it was totally scandalous in that kind of century when the kind of Jewish believers, they had never, ever called God in such a relational term. He was always God, holy, out there. But this whole phrase, "Abba, daddy," was such a huge thing. That's the work of the Spirit. He's changing our understanding of who God is, and in that, changing our understanding of who we are. We are his sons and his daughters. And if we're his sons and his daughters, the verse goes on to say, then we are his heirs. We are heirs of God. since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I don't really know what that means, but I like it. It means that you've got a whole lot more going on for you than you reckon you have. That means I wonder if we could do a whole lot more if we would just step out and trust that God's what he says, that he's our Father and that he will provide, that he's got everything we need. I wonder what our life would look like if we stepped out a little bit and thought, hey, I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I have all that he is and I have all that he has. In the Roman times, adoption was slightly different to adoption today. I did a little bit of reading. I hope he's right. But this is what he said. Basically, if you were kind of quite a rich family and you didn't really have any children to pass on your wealth to, or anyone that you kind of really felt it would naturally fall to, then you would look for someone like a cousin or a nephew in your wider family, and you, if they were willing, would adopt them. So they would kind of leave their family and they would legally become your child and they would have your inheritance. So for the cousin or the nephew, whoever it was a massive social step up in life. It was kind of like an amazing thing to be adopted. And it's in that context that Paul's talking about adoption, that God has adopted us. It's a massive step up for us, that we've got this incredible inheritance in God, that we are heirs, that we have his kingdom, that we have, the Bible says, the kingdom within us, that we have everything that we need. We have all of him and all that he has. And then interestingly it says, we will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. And we get to join in his sufferings too. And again, I guess that's something to explore, isn't it? But I was reading an article about these guys in Syria. And they were both Muslim. This couple were a Muslim couple. And they had a dream, both separately. I think it was a month in between. And they had a dream about Jesus. And they started telling their friends about Jesus, and their house got burnt down, and then ISIS came and they had to escape, and they were in this kind of camp where these guys had met them, and I think it was a reporter or something to do with Open Doors, I think, the charity Open Doors, asked this man the question, you know, what do you need? What do you need? And his reply was, we have everything we need. We have everything we need. I think that's amazing. Here's a man who loves Jesus and I'm sure, is sharing in his sufferings. But he also knows that he's an heir. I want to give some time tonight just to, for us to receive. I really don't like talking about the Holy Spirit unless we allow him to just to meet with us, really. Because I believe he's not just theology or words on a page, but I believe he's here, he's present, and he loves to speak to us. So I just would love it if we could stand and maybe have, would you be able to play some? I really love that song, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. But if we could stand and just for a moment in silence, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to just remind us of who our God is, and maybe to challenge some of the ideas that we've got of God, of being angry or distant. Or maybe there's areas where, you know, we're thinking, God, can you really be that good? Can you really be that good? Maybe you want to ask him that question. And I'm pretty sure we're never going to overestimate him.